This message is brought to you by 12 Stone Church. Pastor Kevin Myers delivers the teaching entitled, Dare You to Get Into Shape. This is the first message in the series, Double Dog Dare. We hope this serves you well. Please enjoy.
Rules of the Double Dog Dare. Listen closely. It begins with two opposing sides. Side 1 presents a seemingly insurmountable challenge known as a dare to side 2. This dare is riddled with abounding risk, oftentimes with severe physical and social implications. When challenged, side 2 must accept or refuse the dare presented. Refusing is equally, if not more, detrimental to one's social standing than actually accepting the dare and failing miserably. If side 2 reluctantly declines the dare, then of course the challenger is forced to raise the stakes and extend the ultimate requisition, the double dog dare. Everything is on the line. Risk it all and walk proudly in achievement, or lose and walk home with your tail between your legs. Only you can decide.
So welcome to the launch of Double Dog Dare. Out of curiosity, with a show of hands here and across campuses, how many of you would say you have either been dared by somebody or you've dared somebody? Hands up, either way. Yeah, so that's a majority experience. So therefore, you understand this moment I had with Travis. Check it out.
We Double Dog Dare you to go skydiving, legitimately jump out of an airplane, to go physically skydiving. You can do this. I believe in you.
Oh, you are out of your ever loving.
He agreed. Mind. All right, we're in. No, come on.
You are out of your ever loving mind.
No.
You want me to consider jumping out of an airplane?
Yes.
So that Jaden might not have a dad
you
in the future.
You know what? It's not about him. It's about you.
I'll consider that.
All right.
Now, obviously, when you get a dare, and most of you who were here, well, if you were here last week, you saw that dare. And you know, I got to do something with the dare. So I got to do something that sets the pace for this series, Double Dog Dare. And so, believe it or not, I went to the airport this past week, and it's captured on video. Check it out. Jumped out of my first airplane. What? Well, you didn't think I was going to jump out of an airplane 10,000 feet in the air, did you? Well, that would be stupid. And that would defeat the whole point of this series. How come all the dares are to be stupid? We want to dare you to do something smart. Something that'll change your life for the better. We want to help you improve your fitness. We want to help you get emotionally whole. We want to help you win in your marriage. We want to help you improve your family and better it. We want to help you go to the next level in your career. We want to help you to win in your finances. We want to help you be smart 2016. As for Travis's dare to be stupid, he should have checked the Key Man life insurance policy because the Board of Trustees did. A long time ago, I signed off. This was not an option, skydiving. In fact, I had to get a special stipulation just to ride my motorcycle. However, I discovered that Travis is not on the Key Man life insurance policy for 12 Stone. So, since he's into stupid dares, I got a dare for you, Travis. I double dog dare you to get in an airplane and jump out some 12,000 feet in the air. So we'll see next week what Travis wants to do. Meanwhile, 12 Stone, I dare you to do the smart thing in 2016. That's right, church. Jumping out of a perfectly good airplane is stupid, 10,000 feet in the air. And the whole point of the series is we are daring you to do something smart in a world that dares you to do something stupid. How come all the dares are to be stupid? Let's dare to do something smart that'll actually better your life, take you to the next level. And so the goal of this series is we're going to give you five dares plus one all through this series. And the goal is for you to pick one of those six dares. Pick one of those six dares and make that your dare in this first quarter of 2016. And the first of those dares, we dare you today, we dare you to get in shape. That's right, we're going after it. So each week, you have your teaching notes, and we're going to talk about the truth, the dare, and we're going to call you to action. Look at your teaching notes. Let's go after it. Here we go. The truth. Here it is. It's on the screen. It's in your teaching notes. Our bodies are from God. Our what? Bodies are from God. You can idolize it, abuse it, or care for it, but your quality of life rarely rises above what conquers you. Let's break that down so that we can understand this truth. Our bodies are from God. Since you've already done your aerobic core work to get your Bible, turn with me over to Genesis chapter 1. We're not going very far in. We're only on page 2. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, page 2. Let's look at it. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Listen, God created us. He made our bodies. You don't have to believe it. It's still true. In fact, by believing that God created you, it doesn't make it true. And if you don't believe God created you, it doesn't make it false. It's just true. God created you in his image. God is spirit, and he created you as a spirit being, as we talked on Christmas Eve, a spirit being wrapped in a material body. You were made for God in his image. And when we sinned, we lost our relationship with God spiritually, and that's why in God's love for us, he sent Jesus, his son, who came to earth and took on a physical body, lived a life of obedience, showed us how to walk with God, voluntarily gave his life on the cross to cover our sin debt, rose from the dead, and offers us a restoring relationship with God our Father to fill this God-sized, God-shaped void in us, the spirit that is created in the image of God that can only be filled by him. So you were made for God, meaning you were made for more. You were made for more than just a physical, material world. In fact, if you're a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, what you need to know is that your body's not your own. This isn't even yours. Maybe you've had the experience. We have. We've gone to the beach, and we're playing on the beach, throwing the football or the frisbee or whatever toy, and then we're done for a while, and we lay it next to our towel, and some kid walking along eyes it, and he wants it, and you can see him going for it, and he goes to take the toy, and I say, hey, buddy, hang on, no, that's ours. We bought that. In other words, listen, it has an owner. Your body has an owner. Look on the screen, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. This body isn't yours. You come to a relationship with God through Jesus. You're spiritually restored to him, relationally restored, and your body becomes his dwelling place, his temple on earth. Now, you can idolize it. That is your body. You can abuse it, or you can care for it. But whatever the case, know this. Your body, your appetites are a battleground. It's true for everybody. And appearance and appetites are a good gift from God. But like any good gift, they can be misused. And so you can be dared into indulgence. And something designed to serve you can enslave you. Appetites designed to serve you can actually enslave you. And you can end up, in one sense, idolizing your body. That is to say that appearance, fitness, fashion
can be over-exaggerated and consume you and end up becoming the first thing in your life. And the Bible cautions us. In places like Proverbs 31, he's talking about beauty. He said, beauty begins on the inside, not the outside. God has a completely different view than this material world that we live in. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, God talks to Samuel about the truth of our culture that we live in. That we evaluate from an outward appearance. We look on the outside, but God looks on the inside. He begins with the human heart. 1 Timothy 4:8, Paul is talking to Timothy, a young pastor, and he's telling them physical exercise is good. In fact, valuable. Get fit. Stay fit. Wise. But know this, godly fitness, spiritual fitness is more valuable. It benefits your life, the quality of your life here on earth, and for all of eternity. That's the big deal. So get the right things right. And in other words, there are some of us, and our vulnerability is idolizing appearance, fitness, fashion, the outside. I've had many people talk to me, in fact, friends along the way, who've said, you know what, I got to pull back from my fitness. I've gone too far. It is overtaking me, and I'm not spending the time in marriage and family and relationships that I should. I'm distracted. It's overtaking my walk with God. I don't have the time with God. I'm not caring for other people, serving other people. I mean, I got to actually pull back. That may be your vulnerability. Here's how I wrote it in my notes. When you idolize, you distort and over-elevate as appearance often controls you. And therefore, the quality of your life in key areas begins to fall. Conquer idolatry. Maybe you're on the other extreme and your vulnerability is what we might say, abuse the body. Now, we were made to eat. We have to eat. I was reading where between the ages of 20 and 50, the average person spends 20,000 hours eating. That's 800 full days, which are very good days. Because I love to eat. Don't you love to eat? Oh, my goodness. You get the right food, the right... It's a beautiful experience. In fact, the majority of Scripture actually celebrates this gift of God of eating. And encourages us to enjoy it. Enjoy everything God created. Hey, it's for your enjoyment. It's a good gift. Enjoy it with others. In fact, many of our good experiences with others is over food. But of course, as we've said, a good gift can be misused. It can be abused. And so many times, this very good gift overtakes you. And instead of consuming food, it consumes you. It can lead to gluttony. Scripture talks about this stuff. Philippians chapter 3. Paul is talking about the world we live in, and they don't see the world as spiritual in nature. They see it just material. They don't think there's a spiritual reality of God-shaped void in you. And so their appetites, they just abandon to them. And so it literally says, and their stomach is their God. Literally in the Greek language, their appetites become their God. It speaks more of just the implications of things like gluttony, but it speaks of sexual desires and the like. In other words, we live in a world that just dares you to indulge all of your appetites. And that'll undo your life. Proverbs cautions us in things like gluttony, knowing that it's foolish and dangerous and undoes us. I wrote this way in my notes. When you abuse, you distort and devalue as indulgence often controls you. And the quality of life drops. So conquer abuse. See, idolatry or abuse, either end of the extremes, is going to cost you. So care for your body. Now, what does it mean to care for your body? What? If you go on a search engine on the web, and you're going to get millions of hits. You talk to people, you're going to get millions of opinions. There's probably millions of books on fitness and eating right. But all the you got to do it this way, and everybody's got opinions. Everybody's got a different angle. Here, I just want to give you one simple definition. When I say care for it, here's what I mean. Conquer your appetites. Just jot it down. Just conquer your appetites. That's what I'm talking about. Because you know that your quality of life rarely rises above what conquers you. In other words, if you don't conquer your appetites, this whole fitness thing has huge impact on your health. I really, on your energy, on your strength, your moods. It affects the quality of life. And so there's the truth. Let's go after the dare. And here's the dare. It's in your notes. Conquer what conquers you. Conquer what conquers you. Everybody say that with me. Say it. Conquer what conquers you. One more time with a little bit of passion so I can hear you, right? Conquer what conquers you. Here's the dare. We dare you to get in shape. Oh, yeah, we're going after this together as a church, 2016. We dare you to get in shape. And if you're not sure what I mean by that, here's about 30 seconds of a little picture that may help. Check it out. I hope that made it clear. So I'll go first, okay? I'll own it first. I'll confess. I will confess that the thing near the top of the list that can conquer me is appetite. This stuff about appetite and indulging your appetites, overeating, gluttony. I hate working out. I'm just gonna confess. If anything has the capacity to conquer me, this is one of them. I'll own it. My hands up first. Anyone else gonna admit that food appetite has the capacity to conquer you? Raise your hand here and across campuses. Come on, be honest. Some of you need to do two hands. Some of you need to get a foot up there. I mean, just for some, that's just the truth of where we are. And so I'm going to invite you, join me in 2016. Join in conquering what conquers you. And that will be true for all the five and then the bonus, the six that we're going to talk about in the first part of this year, in this series. But the first challenge, the first dare is dare to get in shape. Conquer what conquers you. By the way, I'm using the language conquer for a reason. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Over on page 1133, Romans chapter 8. Everybody turn across campus, Romans chapter 8. And this passage is rich and thick and deep and wide, and it's going to teach us something. Because Jesus in you is more powerful than most of us ever recognize, than we ever tap into. And this passage, in fact, you may want to just read Romans 8 several times on your own. All we have time for today is to just skim over some good thoughts and flow. But over this series, we'll go deeper and deeper into Romans 8 because you have to learn how to conquer what conquers you. And this is a core understanding for how that happens. So just by way of introduction for this series, let's highlight some verses. Let's kind of read a flow of verses, verse 1, chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. Know what, church? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son, that is Jesus, in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. Verse 11. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. Look at verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 32. He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Jump over to verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Verse 37 says what? No. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors. In all these things we are more than what, church? Conquerors through him who loved us. See, Jesus, get this, got to get this. If you're a follower of Christ, then you have Jesus in you. And Jesus in you is more powerful. Listen, he is more powerful. What he offers and does in you is more powerful than any of us ever recognize. Jesus conquered sin and death. You no longer have to fear sin and death. It no longer has power over you. You don't have to be afraid that it can overtake you. You don't have to conquer it because it's been conquered. Let me see if I can give you a picture. When I was in elementary school, I think age 7, 8, 9, 10, right in that range, we lived three houses up. We rented three houses up from the Schultz family. And the Schultz family, they were the wild family. They were the crazy. They were the mean family. They were the party house family in the community. Now, we didn't live in a good neighborhood anyway, but I mean, they were kind of the bottom of that. They didn't take care of their property. They made all kinds of noise. In fact, I always wondered as a kid, do they even have parents over there? Because I never saw parents. And one of the kids' name was Johnny, and Johnny Schultz was a year older than me and bigger than me, and he was just angry and mean, and he liked to fight. And so I was afraid of Johnny. We had many fights, and I just hated going to school. I see Johnny, Johnny's just mean, and Johnny would win. Enter Tommy Breen. Tommy Breen was born like a Mack truck. I have no other way to say this. I mean, the boy was just born big, bred big, and he was big. And Tommy and I became friends. He was held back a year or two, and we became friends. And I don't know any other way to say it than to be blunt. I was the mouth. I know it's hard to believe. I was the mouth and he was the muscle. That was the deal. And here's what I discovered. Tommy could take out Johnny. And he did. And all of a sudden, my life was better. Because when I was with Tommy, Johnny was conquered. That's a beautiful thing. Now listen, Jesus in you, Jesus with you can conquer what conquers you because he makes possible what you can't do on your own. This is a powerful thing. See, Ephesians chapter 6 describes the truth of our condition. We are in a spiritual war. You got to understand life as it's being created. We're in a spiritual war. He says that our primary battle is not physical or material, and we think it always is. We think all the 5-6 things we're talking about in this series are all material, physical stuff. They're not. We're in a spiritual battle. Our war is against principalities and powers and dark places, unseen spirit forces. We came from a spirit world. So get this, you ready? Get this. Your struggles, your personal battles that you face in the physical realm are rooted in the spiritual realm. Therefore, your battle of idolize or abuse with appetites and appearance in the physical realm is actually a battle in the spirit realm. Managing winning your appetites is a spiritual battle. And if you're only battling it at the physical level, that's the reason you tend to lose. And that's going to be true in the arena of fitness or appetites. That's going to be true next week when we talk about emotional wholeness in your soul. That's true in marriage when it breaks down and you fall out of love. And we're going to go after a dare in your marriage. That's true in parenting when it becomes difficult. And you're like, I don't even know how to do the disciplines of parenting. It's challenging how you manage and deal with family and kids. And we're going to go after that. And that's true when you talk about career and how you go to the next level. And we're going to talk about that. And that's true when you talk about mastering your money. And all of these are spiritually rooted issues. And Jesus went into the spiritual realm. When he died and rose from the dead, he conquered in the spirit realm what we could never conquer, which makes us more than conquerors with Christ in us. And if it's not clear, let me push it then. That means you have conquered by God and Jesus your past. Think about this. This means that your past sin can no longer bully you, beat you up, haunt you, or condemn you, because by the work of Jesus, your past sin has been covered, and therefore you have peace with God. That's a powerful, beautiful thing. Your past has been conquered. It's more, your present has been conquered. It conquers your present. Here's what it means. Jesus with you is kind of like Johnny with me. Or rather, Tommy with me. He can take out Johnny. Now, here's the bad news. Tommy wasn't always with me. And that was a problem. And Johnny looked for chances when Tommy wasn't with me. Good news is, Jesus is always with me. He's always with you. Jesus in you is a present power, and most of us never tap in to that power. But it is a present power. The very power that will help you conquer appetites, win an emotional wholeness when you're in broken places, turn around a marriage that's lost its love, transform parenting, break through a career, win in finances. It's that kind of power. And not only conquers your past, conquers your present, but it conquers your future. See, everybody's going to die, and the moment you die, you will realize that the physical world fades, and it was temporary, and that you truly were a spirit being. And then all that will matter is, what did you do with the offer of God through Jesus? That'll be everything. Everything. And Jesus conquered so that we can be more than conquerors, and we have the promise of heaven. How spectacular is this? We are more than conquerors, which means we have his peace, we have his power, we have his promises. And so 5 years ago, when I launched a series in January about going after the things God has for us, I used a video that kind of captures this whole conquering what conquers you. And it's so good, and it's one of my favorite all-time commercials and videos, and many of you haven't seen it, and you just need to appreciate this moment, and I think by the end it'll make sense. Check it out.
Such a feeling's coming over me.
That has got to be the best cheese commercial in the history of commercials. That is spectacular. And it reminds you, turn your struggles into strengths. Conquer what conquers you, which means let's go after this dare. I dare you in 2016 to get in shape. And so let's have a call to action. We're going to actually do something about it. And by the way, let me just tell you, I said this at the beginning, we want you to pick one primary double dog dare out of the six dares. This may not be your one. You may have to do some dares that we suggest, but this may not be your primary. I'll just tell you, this is going to be my primary. This for me, I've just chosen, I know what we're going after. In this series, this would be my one. This may be your one. You're invited, if you will, to join in on this. So pick one of the six. And there's more teaching in the series, so you'll go get it. And here's what I want you to know. We're going to all go after our one dare, double dog dare, for 90 days. It's going to begin in February. It's going to run February, March, and April. Those 3 months, 90 days, we're going to crush it. We're going to conquer what conquers us. And so for those 90 days, for you who are going to join me in this, we're going to go get in shape in 2016 for those 90 days. And I've got some very good news for you. You're not going to have to do this alone. And here's why. We have built small groups for this quarter, this spring. We built many of the small groups around the dare. So check this out. Literally, you can jump in on small groups. They'll put on the screen here what we're talking about in small groups is iChat. It's in your bulletin. This is how you get in small groups. But there are going to be get in shape small groups. And you can start now and sign up and say, that's going to be my one. I'm going to get in a small group because you can't do this alone. You can't win this alone. And that's going to help you. Now, this may not be your one. It may be one of the other five beyond this that you join. Or you might be thinking, hey, I don't even want to be in one of the dares. That's fine. Know this, there are hundreds of small groups beyond those six as our regular small groups. But I'm telling you, this is the year for you to get in a small group. We dare you to get in a small group. But the advantage is going to be that for some of us, like in my case, this is my dare. Now, I have very specific goals. Now, I'll talk about it on my Facebook, and you can jump in on Facebook with me and check it out and do the journey with me, because I'm going to be very public. We're going to go after it on Facebook. But my primary goal, I've set a goal by April the 30th, I want to make a major shift in body mass index. And you're like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I want to move fat to muscle. That's what I'm talking about. That may not be what you're going after. Maybe the way you go after it is kind of like this science teacher whose story intrigues me. Check it out.
With cheese meal.
The documentary Super Size Me featured a man who only ate McDonald's for a month, and the results he reported in the 2004 film were less than appetizing, and he claimed his health deteriorated significantly. An Ankeny man who is also a science teacher in the Colonesco School District put together his own amateur documentary looking at the fast food giant.
And he and his team of students came to a much different conclusion.
Which picture of this man was taken after he had eaten nothing but McDonald's for 90 days?
The average Joe would say, well, it'd be that guy on the right. That's what's so amazing about this experiment. I can eat any food at McDonald's that I want, as long as I'm smart with the rest of the day of what I balance it out with.
That was the theory science teacher John Cisna laid out for three of his students at Colonesco High School this past fall. 90 days of Mickey D's for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but with strict daily nutritional limitations of 2,000 calories and trying to stay close to the recommended dietary allowances for nutrients like carbohydrates, proteins, fat calories, cholesterol. Cisna approached the owner of the local McDonald's franchise about the idea, and the owner was so interested to see what the results were, he agreed to provide those 90 days of meals to Cisna at no charge.
I thought it was kind of crazy.
Cisna's students use McDonald's online nutritional information to construct daily meals for their teacher, making sure to follow the nutritional limitations he had set.
Typical breakfast would be two egg white delights, a bowl of their maple oatmeal, and a 1% milk.
A salad for lunch would be followed by a more traditional value meal at dinner.
This isn't something to say, well, he only went to McDonald's and ate salads. Uh-uh. I had the Big Macs. I had the quarter pounders with cheese. I had Sundays. I had ice cream cones.
During the experiment, Cisna turned into a mini documentary. He also started walking 45 minutes a day.
My mind says yes. My body says, holy buckets, Batman.
And by the 90th day, Cisna reports he lost 37 pounds and his cholesterol dropped from 249 to 170.
I'm like, wow, that was a lot of a difference.
I tell people not only can I see my shoes now, but I can actually tie them.
The moral of this gastronomic lesson isn't to eat more at McDonald's, but to pay attention to your daily nutrition.
The point behind this documentary is that, hey, it's choice. We all have choices. It's our choices that make us fat, not McDonald's.
Cisna isn't surprised at the weight loss because he wasn't exercising or watching his calories before he started this, but he is surprised at the large improvement in his blood now that he's capping his nutrients at the recommended daily levels.
Fascinating story. And the point of this is not, well, y'all, I'll see you at McDonald's. Let's have a good day. This isn't encouraging a McDonald's diet. This is communicating something very clearly. You get to make choices, and you got to go make some choices in 2016. And your choices are what make us unfit. So what are you going to go choose? In fact, you go chase his story and read the details. He's not encouraging people to go make a McDonald's as their diet. But I'll tell you what, he went and did it another 3 months, another 90 days. And he lost a total of 60 pounds, and he's keeping it off. And he's now a corporate, if you will, model for McDonald's, a spokesperson for him. Now, here's the point. You got to figure out what is your goal and what are you going to go after. For me, I've already got my plan. You'll have to join me on Facebook, Kevin Myers PK. In fact, everybody's welcome. I'm just going to jump in on Facebook. We're going to launch it. And when we jump out in February, I'm going to lay out my goals and what I'm going after. For example, I'm doing this whole 10,000 steps a day thing. I got my Fitbit. I bought the Zip, the little thing, $58. And so I'm already starting it right now. My goal is to walk to Walt Disney. Over 100 days. No, not literally, but it'll take a million steps to get to Walt Disney. So my goal is a minimum of 10,000 steps a day. Now, there's additional stuff. There's workout stuff. There's lifts. There's eating plan, etc. I'll talk about it on my Facebook, so y'all can jump in on Facebook. You can be a part of it. You can make it your primary goal. You can make it a secondary dare. I don't care. Whatever you want to go after, we're all going to do this together, and then you're going to jump in a small group, and maybe if this is the one that you're going after, this is your dare, your double dog dare, then you get in a small group, and that'll help you. We're going to go win this stuff together. And then on April 30th, on April what? One more time, when? Yeah, April 30th, we're going to have some fun. We're going to have an all 12 stone. Everybody's welcome. Whether the fitness goal is yours or not, we're all going to have a 5K fun walk or run, and then a 10K run for the more serious. I'm going to be in the 5K walk or run. I don't know if I'll walk or run. Don't know if my lower back will hold. But my wife, she'll be in the 10K run. And you say, did you just say your wife can outrun you? Oh, yeah. Now I can outlift her, but we each got our own thing. So you figure it out. You may or may not make this your dare, but everybody can join. You'll get more information about what's coming in April. So jump on Facebook with me. Share your story. Share what you're going after. We're going to have a good time with this. Jump in small group. That'll all be awesome. And if this isn't your primary and it's a secondary kind of dare, then I put some suggestions for you to improve your health. Maybe for you, cut sugary snacks. You see it in the bulletin notes. Or park further away and walk over the 90 days. Or replace sodas and sweet tea with water. Or give yourself a dessert budget. One to two times a week only. So let me talk to you. See, for some of you, this is deeply meaningful as it is for me because this whole appetite thing conquers you. And you have to do more than nod your head during this teaching. You need to take the dare. You need to have a defining moment where you actually engage and embrace the dare. No competition with anybody else, just you. You need to get active. You need to eat right. You need to get healthy. And this is more than a physical dare. This is a spiritual issue that God is placing on you, and you sense it today. And so I'll be the first. I'm going public. How many of you here across 12 Stone would say, you know what, I'm going to take the get in shape. Whatever it means for you, unique to you, it may be your primary or secondary, but I'm going to take the dare to get in shape, hands up. I just right now go public. Just cross the room, cross the campuses, go public. Look around at the hands because they're going public. They're sitting next to you. You're like, oh, doggone it. And you're like, snap, are you really going to find, you know, okay, whatever it is, unique to your situation, but here we go. You can jump on my Facebook and be a part of it. And we go do this and win this together. In fact, we need to pray. So let me pray for you, God. Some of us are going to go home and say, what did I just do? In fact, God, I'm often disappointed in myself because I declare where I want to be and how I want to live publicly and then in private. I am amazed how quickly I can be undone, how food serves as an emotional comfort and fix. How it becomes more than just filling appetite. It overtakes me. I think more of us struggle with this than we have the courage to confess. Would you help us, God? As we go public, would you help us get in small group and get some connection with accountability of brothers and sisters? Would you help us go out? Would you help us win it in the weak moments? If we stumble, God, would you help us stand up and be strong? Would you be our strength? Would you help us conquer what conquers us? I pray a blessing, but more than that, a power and a strength. Do this in us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, hang on. I want to still talk to you. I want to talk to another group. There's a group for whom this is more than just meaningful. This is deeply rooted. Because you're chasing appetites to fill a void. But that void is spiritual. You have a God-shaped void in you, and you're using appetites to chase material things to fill that void, and it cannot. Physical things cannot fill a spiritual void or appetite. And for some time, God has been drawing you to Himself. And maybe this is the time you finally say yes to the offer of God. It's a very big deal. For He sent His Son into this world, who ultimately gave His life to cover your sin debt and restore you to God, to offer you the gift of forgiveness of your past that you would have peace, to indwell you and let you have his power and be his power in you, and to give you the promise of eternal life. It's a huge gift from God. And this is your moment to say yes to God. And so I'm going to invite you, if that is you, as campus pastors begin to take the stage across the campuses, we're going to invite you to raise your hand and say, that's me. That's me. That's me. So I'm going to turn the service over to the campus pastors, but I'm going to say right here in this room and the cafe theater right now, if that's you, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You're going to join in that. But if that's you, you've never said yes to God, you need to get right with God, and that's where you need to be right now. Raise your hand, would you? Anyone? Anyone who wants to? Good for you. Good for you. Just keep your hands raised for a moment. Anyone else? Let's go. Here, cafe theater. And here's what we're going to do. Everyone's going to bow their heads. Bow your heads with me. Those of you who raise your hand, you can put them down. But you can look up at me. And we're going to offer this prayer, and we're going to do it a little different. We're a family, and family helps and encourages each other, and we do these things together. And so I'm going to offer the prayer a line at a time. And everyone who's willing, first of all of you who raised your hand, this is your prayer. But all the rest of us who are willing, a part of the church, we're going to say this prayer out loud, line by line. We're going to pray it together as a support and encouragement to you. But you who raise your hand and want to make this your moment, this is your prayer. So I'll say a line, and then everybody aloud, say it together, and then I'll say a line, and we'll repeat this because we're going to encourage all those who are coming into the family, the kingdom of God. So here we go. You'll repeat the line after me, everyone. Heavenly Father, forgive me for my sins. Make me brand new. Jesus, be the Savior and the Lord of my life. Fill me with your Spirit so I can know you, serve you, and follow you. My life is not my own. Today I give it to you. Thank you for new life. Now you have mine. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And church, what does all of heaven do for each one that steps into the kingdom? Huge. Huge. So let me encourage you to do something. All of you have the bulletin, but everyone who said yes to Jesus, I want you to know that on this bulletin, the left-hand side, when you're looking at the notes, the left-hand side, it says contact card, and it's detachable. And what I want you to do in this moment, ushers are going to get ready and prepare for the offering, but what I want you to do is detach that. There's a pen right underneath your chair, and what I think is about five of those little check boxes to the left on this contact card, about five down, it says, my recent decision for Christ. That's what you're going to check that, and you're going to put your name and your email and your phone. You're going to fill that out right now. Because listen, those of you who said yes to Jesus right now, raise your hand, you offered the prayer, you've come into the kingdom, congratulations. And now you're what Scripture calls being spiritually born. You're a newborn in the kingdom. And we're going to help you spiritually grow. So this allows us to encourage you, contact you, tell you next steps, help you walk in faith. You don't have to do it alone. You couldn't do it alone. We're going to help you. You'll place this in the offering basket as it goes by. Those of you who are first-time guests, love to hear from you as well. In fact, as the offering is received, let me just say that there's no obligation or expectation on any of you who are guests of ours. When the offering is received, you just let it pass. Many of us like me who honor God and he's first in my life, then it's demonstrated in my finances. We give online, easiest best way to give. Some use the offering envelopes. That's fine, whatever works for you. And so we want to hear from those of you who said yes to Christ and celebrate with you. For the rest of us, the commitment we're going to make is small group. You can get online and starting today, you're going to go after a small group, and maybe your group is going to be fitness, good for you, or one of the others. But everybody, the dare is get in small groups. And while the offering is received, since today is all about fitness, and we've been encouraging you, what we don't want to see is these kinds of videos when you start getting fit while the offering is received. Check it out.